Bhishmadeva continued. May the Lord in his forearm formed, whose beautifully smiling face is adorned with eyes that are as red as the rising sun, kindly stay before me at the moment of my passing away from this body. 22-24. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport. Bhishmadeva knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayana. His worshipable deity was four-handed Narayana, but he knew that four-handed Narayana is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Sri Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayana. A Vaishnava is always humble in his behavior. Although it was 100% certain that Bhishmadeva was approaching Vaikuntha Dham just after leaving his material body, still, as a humble Vaishnava, he desired to see the beautiful face of the Lord. For after quitting the present body, he might not be in a position to see the Lord anymore. A Vaishnava is not puffed up, although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode. Here Bhishma says, as long as I do not quit this body, this means that the great general would quit the body by his own will. He was not being forced by the laws of nature. He was so powerful that he could stay in his body as long as he desired. He got this benediction from his father. He desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan feature so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be entranced in that meditation. In other words, means in leaving the body, then Manu mentions there's two kinds. Either those who, like a bird flying from a tree, or from a tree that's on the bank of the river, and as the river comes and washes away the bank, then the tree is pulled away from the bank. Right, so you have these two elements. Right, so he had the benediction, he could leave whenever he wants. So it's not so uncommon in the Vedic age that Manu would therefore mention both of them. Right? Yes.
That Bhishmadeva knows Krishna is superior to Narayana, but still his relationship is with Narayana. He knows he might not see Krishna again. It doesn't create in him desire to...
No, Krishna meaning, that was in connection with the humility. That he's not taking it that it's, you know, I'm definitely going to Vaikuntha, so I'll see the Lord there. He's working at that he wants to see the Lord before leaving his body, just in case, you know, he takes birth again and therefore is unable to see the Lord. That's the thread there, right? Because the point is, it's a matter of taste. Even though you know he knows Narayan comes from Krishna, still his taste is for Narayan. Right? That's all. It's just a matter of taste, you know, like that. Yes.
So can we say he has complete knowledge, and those people who think that Krishna comes from Narayan, it's somehow incomplete?
It's not that it's incomplete. It's just not the, how do you say? It's not your topmost way of looking at it. Right, because within absolute you have more absolute and most absolute. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So it's not that it's not perfect. It's just that it has that element of because of the taste you look at it that way. So Bhishmadeva has that knowledge of both. But now let's say those who are the general, those from Vaikuntha, then they're looking at it because they only understand Vaikuntha. So then when they're talking about Krishna, they're not actually talking about Swayam Krishna. Because they're talking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but they're seeing it as an aspect of the Lord's majesty that he has pastimes of sweetness. You know what I'm saying? He's so great, he's so wonderful, so the majesty remains, that he has these sweet pastimes. Right? Because he has all this variety. So that's how they're seeing. So that Krishna that they're seeing there in those pastimes isn't Swayam Krishna. It's not Braja Krishna. That'll be, this is what I think Vishwanath mentions as lower Goloka. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's Vrindavan pastimes, but they're in opulence. Like that. Like, how you say, Radharani, she goes to the Rasa dance in a flower airplane with 10 million maidservants. You know what I'm saying? It has that sweet aspect, but there's still the element of opulence is there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then they're not wrong in that way. But it, because they don't really understand or know about Swayam Krishna. Does that make sense? So it works. It doesn't matter. But since we're being given this understanding, then we should, I say, then it's something to be appreciated. Yeah. Does that make sense? In other words, you're trying to keep all the sampradayas, if they're bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, they're correct. But it just means there may be higher and higher aspects, because like as we see, they're only dealing with some kind of balance of oneness or difference. Right? But they don't understand about oneness and difference simultaneously, because that's the full Vedic philosophy. It's not that it's our philosophy, that's actually the Vedic philosophy. Then these others can be derived from there, but because they're connected to the Lord, they're not wrong. They're just not as perfect as a Chintamita Veda Tattva. That's why sometimes they have a little problems in certain aspects of working out details of Siddhanta, so they'll have differing opinions and they can't reconcile them, though they're both correct. But we can reconcile them, so there wouldn't be a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like the one is that it means in the Shris, you have this Wadagalai and Tengalai, major split. It means they won't intermarry, they won't nothing. Right? And so, and then each one claims they're the original, you know, Ramanuja's philosophy. And they're correct. Both of them together are the original philosophy. But somebody understood one, somebody understood another aspect, perspective of it. Because you have purified oneness, special oneness. So you're going to have these elements, these overlapping elements. So Shri is considered Jiva. So then Jiva means servant, not that she's Jiva Tattva. Right? So then one emphasizes on she's Jiva, so she's servant. And then there's the Lord of Vaikuntha, and she's the head servant. But the focus is on servant. While the others see, no, Lakshmi and Narayan are one, because they always go together, the Lord and his energy. You understand? So it's a matter of the rasa. You know, the one becomes more formal, and the other one's less. But both are correct. In tattva, yes, she is the supreme servant. But in rasa, then Lakshmi and Narayan go together. See, this is what they can't get. Well, for us, that's not a difficult understanding. But for them, it's created two completely different lines of thought. And the tilak is different. You see, there's the square tilak and the round tilak. Yeah. So that's the round one is Wada Galai, I think. I can remember that because Wadas are round. Right? And then you have the Wada Galai, right? So I don't think there's a connection between the two, but one means north, one means south. Okay. Yes.
Are these lines friendly?
They'll work together. You know, it means in other words, formally doing puja and stuff, you'll see them all together. But as far as personal interacting, they won't. They're just they completely stay separate.
Because of the rasa difference.
Yeah, somehow or another, it doesn't work out very good between them.
But it's perfect because it sounds to me like, what was it, Krishna, the Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, he's the ocean of, so he likes variety, he likes this.
Yes, but that's why both of them are correct, so there's no need to have one school and another school, it's one school that has these both aspects. Yeah. Right, but because of not having a Chintaveda-Veda Tattva, they can't reconcile these. So then there's a problem. So for them, it becomes two separate perspectives. For us, it's just different aspects of one perspective. Right? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
What do they think about the Chintaveda-Veda Tattva?
It's to them, it's just another philosophy. You know, generally like that, they appreciate it. Like that. They appreciate, it means us. I mean, there's difficulties with the mudras, but, and mudras are Shris, but generally us, it's kind of it's okay, but it's a bit wild for some of them. The ones that are more thoughtful, they appreciate it. They read our books and all that.
Yeah.
And, but those who don't, they kind of shy away because it means you have to think more.
Yeah.
Like that. But otherwise, now I don't know, but I'm saying back in the 80s, you still had these older scholars. I mean, real, real scholars, really, really respected in their line. And they all appreciated Prabhupada's books. They had the books, they read the books.
Both the Madhvas and the Ramanujas?
Yeah, more the Ramanujas, less the Madhvas. Madhvas are a little bit more of a tight group. It's kind of like, you speak Tulu, you're okay. You don't speak Tulu, you got a problem. Because when they have their programs, they do it in Tulu. Right? You can speak in Sanskrit or Tulu. That's all. You won't speak in, Tamil or, Kannada. No, they don't. I mean, they will in public, but when they're having their own programs, or Marathi or like that, they just won't speak. It's Tulu or Sanskrit. And neither one's cool. Doesn't matter. Take your pick. It's very liberal. Yeah, so yes.
They think that by ritualistic, others are a little inferior.
Ritual, other than the mudras.
Yeah.
Okay. They do very nicely in their ritual, but it's similar like the Shris, that it's repeated many, 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 many times. So that makes the element. The Shris do, but I think there's a lightness to it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The Shris is, the Madhvas somehow or another, there's this heaviness,
yeah.
Real sober heaviness, like that. So it doesn't have the light festive element like the Shris have, like that. So naturally, I guess they think the Shris are a bunch of kids. Too much in the party spirit. Like that. So for us, it's just doesn't matter. Then his mind. Okay. He desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan feature, so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be entranced in that meditation. Then his mind might be sanctified with thinking of the Lord. Thus, he did not mind wherever he might go. Right, so that's also a point. As long as you're thinking of the Lord, you don't really worry about where you're going. Right? So if the Lord's there, you're fine. A pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to the kingdom of God. Right? So when we're talking about go back to Godhead, it means ultimately, of course, there's the element of going back actually to the kingdom of God physically. But what we're meaning is that the kingdom of God is actually where the living entity and the Lord are interacting on a personal relationship. Yes.
So it would seem that it's a bit of a, it seems like a contradiction. He doesn't care where he's going, but he wants four-armed Narayan.
No. It means he doesn't care where he's going as long as he can remember the Lord's Lord. That's the point.
Mm. But it's not a geographical place he's going.
Means you go back to Godhead. Then, on the spiritual terms, you could say it's geographic. But I'm not sure if Google
Google Maps,
Google Cosmos would be working like that.
Yeah. But he goes where he's meditating. No.
Yes. See. This is also that element of something. It's not. it's not as much a place as it is a relationship. Yeah. That relationship has a natural place. Okay, yeah. Let's say, okay, the a person has, let's say you have, you know, you have your room full of lawyers, right? And there's the judge, right? And so the different lawyers have different kind of perspectives of the judge, right? They all have respect, but some of them can be a little bit more intimate. Some of them are very formal, right? So the ones that are intimate, then they're comfortable when out of court than they're in the, you know, in the back rooms where all the, you know, the library is and that, and hanging out and talking. While other ones are more comfortable if they're in court, right? Because then that relationship is formal. You understand? So it's that the situation enhances that particular mood towards the Lord. That's why there's a particular place. Right? And then within Vaikuntha, you actually have 24 different flavors.
Yes.
Because you have the 24 Vishnus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then the Ramanujas will be in one place, the Madhvas will be in another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it, you generally always have the same form, but the Sarup Siddhi, right? Yeah, it means that, what do you call it? What do you call it? The one where the liberation was the same form?
Vastu Siddhi?
No.
Sarupya Mukti.
That's what the Madhvas are into.
Mm-hmm.
That's specifically the one. The Ramanujas, I haven't heard what they're. Mm-hmm. But you know, they always, it's always four arms anyway. But whether it's exact, mm-hmm. or, you know, like that. But so there's going to be a difference in which of those places. And then within that, you have so many. So the Madhvas will be in one of those places, right? There'll be so many others that also have affection for the Lord and Lord. But they're not from that particular group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's very accommodating.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Maharaj, listening is like if you're devoted, not very anxious to go back to Godhead. Sometimes in classes we see a completely different perspective. This perspective, the service is more important than.
Yes, the service is more important, but it's not that the relationship. You have to be careful that service is more important, but the service is to who? Otherwise, if you're just doing service, because then there's that story about that. Remember we said about that pujari in Puri, who he was only worried if I'm going to die now, you know, who's going to do that service? But he wasn't actually thinking of the Lord. You understand? So the point is that's why I always emphasize again and again about the personality of Godhead. It always comes back to that. We just take it, yeah, that's just the standard thing. Yeah, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, but that has a very specific meaning. Right? The personality of Godhead means the Supreme Personality of God. Personality of Godhead means any of the Vishnu forms. Supreme Personality of Godhead means Swayam. Right, and then Krishna, the Supreme, means that aspect of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's very specific, like that. But we don't necessarily attribute those qualities. So being absorbed in the service, but not that if there that you're not willing to interact. You want to interact, but the point is that interaction is service. So it's not about the situation you're in. You're always going to do service no matter what the situation is. Right? You're in a nice city in the temple, you're going to remember Krishna. You're out on the street, you're going to remember Krishna. Yeah? Does that make sense? So it's not about being in the temple. Yeah? So therefore, it's about remembering Krishna, rendering service to Krishna for his pleasure. So now if Krishna is pleased, then one may be in that position where the Lord and his associates are having their pastime. You understand? So it's different but not different. So to overemphasize is not good. You know, we don't want to go back to Godhead. Who's ever said that? He says not very anxious. He doesn't say we don't want to go back. You know, it's just like that devotee, Prabhupada says, you know, go back to Godhead or something like that, and then one devotee shouts out, we don't want to go back to Godhead, we want to stay here with you. And then Prabhupada's comment is, says, so that means I have to stay here also. you understand? So in other words, these things are delicate. There's the standard thing, what goes back, but it's not that they're anxious to go back to Godhead, because then that's about the place. It's not about the interaction relationship, as we mentioned before. Because that's the Tathasta position, is it's more about the position. You know, your options. Right? You know, I could do this or I could do that, rather than within in spiritual relationship, there's options. You know what I'm saying? So it's more about the place. So we're not into it's about the place. You know, we're more into the service. Because in the place means that particular kind of service. But that particular kind of service generates a particular, experience or interaction with Krishna. Right? So it's about that. So therefore, because that's what you're trying to get to, you perform the activities. And to perform the activities, you have to have the knowledge. I'm servant of Krishna. So therefore, we talk about in applying, you start at the end. But to actually do it, you have to start at the beginning. Right? Does that make sense? So the beginning and end are connected by the middle, which is Abhideya. Does that make sense?
So, the consciousness is back to Godhead, right?
Consciousness means back to Godhead means being with Krishna in a relationship. That's the actual back to Godhead. It means it's just like when Prabhupada's here, he's not there. You know what I'm saying? The point is it's non-different. But at the same time, there's a difference in flavor. It's like there's a difference between Sambho and Vipalamba. So at the same time, one's never not with Krishna. Right? For the pure devotees, there isn't such a thing as not being with Krishna. It's just a matter of whether one's, directly interacting, it's not actually the right way. I think there's technical terms for this. Or then there's the mood of Krishna. Like it says, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But we see that the residents of Vrindavan are acting in Vipralamba. So that physical form as such, you don't see, but that mood of Krishna is fully there. So it's just he's not, so they can't see him. So they're always with him. You know what I'm saying? So that's the importance of a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. Because if it has to be this or that, then it won't catch Braj. Braj means these both go on simultaneously. Otherwise, how is it Radharani meets Krishna? Then immediately she thinks, this is so wonderful, but he's going to leave. Even though that's, after some time. But because the attachment's so great, even though it's after so many hours, they're already worrying about his leaving. So there's already separation in Sambho. Right? And so you have all these things going on at once. So which aspects are being tasted? Or Krishna comes, Radharani comes to Govindastali, right? To see Krishna. But because she's so absorbed in thinking of Krishna, she can't see Krishna standing there. So Krishna just acts like he's a tree. Right? So she thinks, the tamal tree, which is Krishna, is black like Krishna, and so then she in ecstasy embraces the tree. Right? And then she's surprised that mystically, how did this tree turn into Krishna? Yes, and so you're dealing with this unlimited aspects of this. So we're just trying to catch the basics that I'm servant, because they all come back to I'm soul, I'm servant of Krishna. If you don't catch that one, these subtleties are great to listen to, but then, we've already heard that story, let's hear a new one. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, you can hear the same thing over and over again. That's the point. When the girl sees the boy, it's a moment, right, And so that's what's going through the mind for days, weeks, months, that one moment. So it doesn't get old. I mean, eventually it gets old. Either the guy does something or,
He probably does.
Or at least until the next moment comes with, whoever. Then, does that make sense? So the point is if it's with Krishna, it doesn't get old. So there's no such thing as if the story, we've heard that story. Then there's something, one hasn't caught the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva aspect. One won't appreciate what rasa is available. Right? Yes.
I mean, this discussion really turned, that recording where the saintly person is offering four kinds of blessings, and then for the pure devotee, the saintly person says,
I think you live or you're dying.
Yeah, yeah.
You're with Krishna. So now I'm getting a fuller understanding.
Okay, yeah. You live or you die. It doesn't matter. You're always with Krishna. So.
That's simple. That's very simple. But now there's so much going on.
So much depth. That's the whole point. This Prabhupada makes is that the God, it means any Vaishnava philosophy, but especially the Gaudiya philosophy, it's extremely simple. But at the same time, is highly sophisticated. Very, very, very developed. So that's why, of the sampradayas, we have the maximum amount of literatures like that, because there's so many subtleties. And these are the ones that were left for us, that we could understand. Right? The other ones, they wrote them and decided, it's not going to happen. So they buried them. Right? Because they were just, too far beyond. The detail is too great that I expect they feel that you wouldn't be able to distinguish between the material and spiritual. So, here it's obvious enough that it's something different. You just catch that likeness, get distracted. So then they didn't. Right, because it has to be something good that for eternity it's going to get better and better. So there has to be a lot going on. Like that. Okay. He entirely depends on the goodwill of the Lord. So it's just up to the Lord what he likes. He is equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. Because if you're absorbed in the Lord, what do you care where you are? It really doesn't matter. Because it's not about the situation. The situation only enhances the activities and remembrance. So if the activities and remembrance are there, despite the situation, it doesn't matter.
Would we say also that hell is not being absorbed in the Lord?
That's there. But here they would, generally meaning the
place.
It means, like, the physical place, like London, like that.
Exactly.
Yes.
We know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
This is really only applicable to pure devotees who are always absorbed in the Lord.
But we have to understand where we're going. It's just like you have to understand the fundamentals. The fundamentals don't change. The fundamentals in, your nursery school, mathematics, are still the same when you get into, middle school, high school, university, do postgraduate work it's still the same numbers, they work in the same way.
Yeah, but we can't say that doesn't matter to us, because it doesn't matter to us.
No, it's just we talk about, in other words, for us, we want to be qualified to go back to Godhead. We don't talk about necessarily that we're going back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? It'll come up in a conversation, but the focus is on being qualified to go back to Godhead. Because if you're not qualified, there's no question of going back to Godhead.
Yeah, but I mean, if we were to go to hell, be distracted by bad association and...
No, the point is okay. So you're trying. In other words, you're making a comment that Sydney is not as hellish as London. Is that what? Is that the underlying point you're making here?
No, it's London.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Weather's better.
You're not missing anything. Hey, if you've been to Auckland, it's similar. Like that. It means, in other words. Australia, they went unwillingly, but New Zealand, they went willingly. So in other words, and it's worse weather, so that means it's similar. That's the same. Wow. No, okay. So the point is you don't have to worry about that. You're worrying about qualifying yourself to be there. In other words, you don't worry about what you're going to wear in court. You worry about passing the bar, right? Once that's, then you can worry about it. Qualify yourself, then you can worry about it.
Yeah, but to qualify ourselves, we have to be in the correct environment to facilitate our progress.
Yes, But the point is the material world, no matter where you are, is already hellish.
But there are places where you can spend less time at the substation.
That's fair. But the point is it's all hellish.
Okay.
Hellish means it's uncomfortable. So, you know, you've done your, you know, ashrameda yagyas, you've elevated yourself to the heavenly planets, you have a fabulous palace and a fabulous chariot, and you look really good, and, you know, so much wealth, but someone did one more ashrameda yagya than you, and his palace is that much bigger and that much better chariot, he looks that much better, and he's got that many more girls. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, what's going on here? So now, is that comfortable or not?
No.
No. So therefore, that's the problem. So that you have to go for Brahma, right? That Brahma's not into enjoyment, so you have to go for Indra, but then the problem with Indra is that he's only there for a certain amount of time.
We stay devoted.
Okay. That's the better choice.
But isn't...
Yeah, you understand. Don't get caught up on the thing about, you know, yes, we're willing to go to hell. The point is... It's a matter of we want to qualify ourselves to go back to Godhead. So have this mentality that whether you're in the spiritual world or in hell, it doesn't matter. Yes, that's an advanced platform, but the point is it's not that we have a different perspective on the junior platform. We know that that's the standard, but for us, that's not something we worry about. We worry about becoming qualified so that we will think like this.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is I thought that an environment of goodness is favorable to practicing.
It is, but that's not the point being discussed. You understand? The point that's being discussed is the devotee, as long as he can remember the Lord, he doesn't care where he is. That's the point. Now, if we're talking about the situations for practice of devotional service... If that's the point, then yes, one where we're in the association of the devotees, that's what's ideal. You understand? It's different aspects. So in other words, the words, they're using common words because it's, you know, they're not so exact here. You know what I'm saying? Like that. If this was in German, there might be different words here, but, you know, it's not, so... So the words can be used in a variety of ways. So here the words are being used to denote the mood of absorption in the Lord is what you're trying to obtain. Right? It's not about the place, it's about the mood of remembering the Lord. You understand? Like that. But to get to that, then the place is supportive. Just why, if it's supportive in the spiritual world, why won't it be here? Does that make sense? Like, you have to accommodate all these things at once. Just like, you have to cook nicely, but at the same time, you have to cook on time. For some people, these are like two opposing concepts. Right? And, you know, to cook nicely, then it should be in the mode of goodness. The place should be clean. That's also, many times, an opposing concept. You know what I'm saying? Because if it doesn't look like a bomb hit the kitchen, you don't feel you cooked it. You know what I'm saying? You understand? So all these things are all part of that. So you do your best. But you know that, you know, Advaitacharya, when he finished cooking, his kitchen was clean. They were simultaneous. That means cleaning was going on all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, these kind of things. It was on time when Lord Chaitanya came. It didn't say he had to wait for 2 hours while the Advaitacharya was putting the finishing touches on. It was ready. Does that make sense? You know, he was Krishna conscious. Yes? Okay. Like that. Yes.
Maharaj, is this the same note that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to develop? Because he says in the Shikshashtaka, and the fifth one, Mama Janmani and Janmaneshwari.
It's just, we just want to be absorbed in Krishna, serving Krishna. You understand? It's not about the births, it's about being absorbed in Krishna. You understand? This is why, for us, Sambandha Gyan is always the bigger aspect. Right? Than the discussion of Abhideya and discussion of Prayojana. Like Hari Bhakti Vilas, how big is it? You know, it's about this many volumes. Nectar Devotion is this big. Does that make sense? So why is that? Because we're absorbed just in the facilities. For us, that's all there is. If I have facilities, I'll enjoy. Otherwise, why is the advertisement so simple? Show the nice car, show the guy leaning on the car with a big grin on his face. That's all they have to do. Hey, he has that car, he's happy. But what does having the car and happiness have to do with each other? You know what I'm saying? Means it's a situation in which if you performed an activity, then you could get a result of happiness. But having it doesn't automatically mean. Because I have a nice kitchen, I'm eating good food. You know? Most people have this fabulous kitchen. And they microwave their ready-made dinners. You know, the professionals. You know, that's their lifestyle. Fabulous kitchen, overlooking, you know, the valley, and they have bought all the air rights, but they're eating stuff that even the poor guy eats better than that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is it's not automatic. Just because they have the balcony, who goes out on it? You know? Everybody wants the balcony. Who uses it?
So you keep your stuff.
Yeah, that's where you keep your stuff. That's why you want the balcony. Does that really make sense? So that's why so much emphasis is put on understanding the facility, because that's how we look at everything. Because even in this discussion here, it's about the facility. We're unable to move on to the Abhideya and the Prayojana. Because, no, but what about the situation? No, it's not about the situation. It's about remembering Krishna. Then, one who can remember Krishna at all times, then he'll have that favorable situation in which he's there with the associates and all that, where they all remember Krishna. But if it's about the facility, then they don't like people who are only about the facility in the spiritual world. Right? So therefore, unless you've remembered Krishna at the time of death, then you'll be there and worried about your facility. But if that hasn't happened, you'll stay here. Because this is where it's, you know, facility loka. You know, this is where it's all happening. You know? Yes.
Maharaj Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he says in the purport, he says that Bhishma Dev is, because he has this affection for the Lord, then the Lord manifests his forearm form for him.
Yes.
And he said, and Srila Prabhupada, he says that it should be appreciated that Bhishma Dev has this particular transcendental, you know, humor, mm-hmm. you know, like that, you know.
Yes.
This kind of answer.
Yes, no, it's very nice. And it's that it's Krishna. Even though he knows he's the original, he's taking that forearm form. Because
yeah.
he has affection for that forearm form, but he wants Krishna to do that. So he knows that it's... So you get both those aspects. So that it's very unique. You know, it's not standard. You know, like we said, most people, if they only know Krishna, and it's not so much of Vaikuntha, or they know Vaikuntha and don't know Swayam Krishna, but here he knows both. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's a unique kind of position. Okay. The only desire that a pure devotee entertains is that he may always be in rapt attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. So that's the point, is that he wants to only be absorbed in thinking of the Lord. Bhishma Dev wanted this much only, that his mind be absorbed in thinking of the Lord, and that he passes away thus. Right? And then what happens after that? He's not worried. That is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. Right? Is it's about the person.
Yes.
Like that. Okay. Bhishma Dev concludes his instructions. Right? It's not that facilities aren't important, but we have to understand is that when you connected all that to Krishna, then it makes it very easy, therefore, to engage it all in the Lord's service. Sanatana Goswami is the older brother. Why? That means you understand Sambandha Gyan, then you'll be able to apply Abhideya properly. That's the... Verses 25-49. Bhishma Dev concludes his instructions and meditates on Krishna before leaving his body. In this section, Sudha Goswami describes how Maharaj Yudhishthira asked Bhishma Dev about the essential principles of various religious duties. While answering, Bhishmadeva notices that the auspicious time for his departure has arrived. He thus withdraws his consciousness from this world and focuses it on Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes?
He still pays attention to the auspicious time even though Krishna is in front of him?
That's because they do things formally. So everything's about doing everything at the right time, in the right way, in the right place. That's the Vaikuntha mood. So that's why the Varnashram system, the whole Vedic system, is very, very, in its natural form of rules and regulations, is quite compatible with Vaikuntha. It's not a problem. The point is it's just done to please Krishna. While here, one has to be careful that it's not for karma or jnana. So it's the same thing. Pure devotional service maintains the same definition. But the medium of expression of that pure devotion, they like the rules and regulations. So now is the time for this. So then everybody goes, okay, now is the time. The Lord's going to have his meal now. So therefore, then that's arranged. So now he's going to take rest. So then they all, you know, disperse. And then he's going to wake up. They all come back. You know what I'm saying? All these things are there. So that's the element. So that opulent environment, you know, in which the Lord, you know, is worshipped through that opulence. You know what I'm saying? So that includes, in other words, it's also opulent proper times. You know, you have these. You know, so there, they'll have all these great times. You know, here it's harder to find a great time. If somebody's really fanatic, they can never find a great time. You know? It's just like, you know, the guy trying to find the perfect girl, right? Like that. I think they're about 58 now. They started and they were probably, you know, very early 20s.
Like that. Looking to the Russians.
That's one option.
Yes. Yes. Because Bhishmadeva, both Narayan and Krishna, when he notices the time, he's also feeling Krishna, because he knows time is Krishna, right?
Yes.
Because he's already expounded on that.
Yes, yes.
So that's another aspect.
Yes, of course, yes. Does that make sense? Yeah, in other words, Krishna is time, so therefore an auspicious time is Krishna.
Like that. Krishna, so it's just Krishna's approaching.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, all these things together. So they look like that. While in Braj, then time is not so important. It means it's not that, you know, Mother Yashoda goes into the kitchen and she and Rohini Devi are having a, you know, yakking it up about Krishna and don't care that, you know, breakfast is on time because there is no time, you know, like that. No, it's like that. She comes and my mother Yashoda comes and harasses the maidservants because they're slow in giving Krishna his afternoon bath. You know, it's time for him to do other things. So she comes and chastises them. You know, that they're too young and inexperienced, you know, so they don't know how to bathe and dress Krishna properly, right? You know, of course, Krishna during the whole time is anything that they give him to put on. He says, "Oh, I'm not wearing this or like that." Or, you know, they put it on, he takes it off. So that way they get into trouble. Does that make sense? But the point is there is a concept of time, though there is no time. Śrīta Gosvāmī continued his narration to the sages, informing them that after Bhishma finished speaking, Maharaj Yudhishthira began to inquire from him about various religious principles. Verse 25. In his purport to this verse, Śrīla Prabhupāda writes, Bhishmadeva at that time was not only lying on a deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. Footnote 5. Srila Prabhupada's departure while dictating the Bhagavatam purports into the last moments also illustrates this point. Yeah, up to the last day. Just on the last day, then he went into what would be, you know, technically called Nirjan Bhajan. So he just went into, you know, samadhi, so he didn't interact. But up to that, the day before, his purports, you know, fully clear and everything. So all it is for them, the body is a nuisance, you know, rather than it affecting the consciousness. Us, because we identify it, if the body's in good shape, their consciousness is in good shape. Body's in bad shape, consciousness is in bad shape. Yes. But with the pure devotee, it's just an instrument, so it's not that it changes your consciousness. Yes.
So recently, Uttarananda Nitai Prabhu. He left his body in Mayapur.
Okay.
He went to Mangalarati, Sanjarati, and the whole program. Yeah, Darshanati invited devotees for prasadam, and that evening he left his body.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. He was blind. He was led around the temple by his grandson.
Oh, okay.
Walking with a cane and everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure which. Because the problem is that Jesus. I have trouble keeping up with the names.
Yeah.
You know him from sight. He was always walking with a young boy and coming and standing at the front of the Pudashan, standing at the front, and he was led by this young boy because he couldn't see.
Oh.
I don't know his name, but I know his description.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who's there?
Yeah. They do exist.
Yes. Thus, the Lord's principal desire is to glorify his devotees. Because right? Normally, you would have taken this; they would have done this in the regular kind of social interaction of coming there and just feeling, you know, sorry and not asking questions and stuff like that. But Krishna wanted to prove the transcendental position, because right? Here's one of the Mahajanas. Right? Okay, Srila Prabhupada explains in the same purport. Lord Sri Krishna inspired Maharaj Yudhishthira to ask Bhishma Dev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotee like Bhishma Dev, although apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadeva. Oh, Prabhupada gave this the definition of sage or saint as one situated in goodness, like that. Even Vyasadeva. Yudhishthira also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishma Dev rather than ask anyone else present there who was seemingly more learned than Bhishma Dev. This is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier, Lord Sri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. So then it's up to the Lord how that works, because otherwise so many great sages were there with Prikit Maharaj, but then Sukadevas who spoke, and so many great sages are here now also. But Bhishma Dev spoke. Right, so it's the Lord's arrangement.
It's he's always mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, huh? Being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, being Vishnu Tattva yourself, never getting a chance to speak in public, right? All his books are published by someone else. But at least he gets the credit for compiling them, right? At least we know that much.
Yeah.
No, it's just the way the Lord arranges it. Like that. Because to glorify the devotees. So. Because Vyasadeva in this arrangement is Vishnu, so therefore he wants the devotees to be glorified. Like that. So it works out.
He doesn't have an issue.
No, he doesn't have an issue. I mean, he does. Sukadeva, but other than that, he doesn't. Okay. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. So that's the point. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. So that's the point Krishna wants to bring up. Because Krishna, see, the whole point is this: Krishna, he wants to interact with the devotees. So therefore, if you value devotees, then you have common ground to interact with Krishna. Right? There has to be a common, like if those who go skiing is the common ground. Then they talk about skiing and talk about the snow and talk about their, you know, their boards that they're on and all these different, excuse me, skis that they're on. That was a faux pas there. You know, all these different things like that. You know? So, you know, which resort, which time of year, and they, you know, they were here, they were there, and, you know, this mountain and that mountain, and, you know, all this kind of stuff, trying to impress each other, right? But the point is that's the common ground. So the common ground with Krishna is the devotees. You know, and amongst devotees, it's Krishna. So unless you appreciate Krishna and the devotees together equally, then you can't function in that environment. So then this is being brought out here, that Krishna wants the devotee to be the prominence, because that's what then makes it nice for Krishna. Because otherwise, if Krishna does everything, after a while it gets kind of annoying.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
This is why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to come to the Madhyam platform, because
yes,
then we can appreciate both.
Yes, because that's you can say within the conditioned sadhaka, the Madhyam platform is safe. because it's stable. Right? The anartas are minimal, so there's the least distraction. And you therefore appreciate devotees, that's why it's dynamic. Because the problem with anarta nivritti is that one doesn't appreciate devotees. So because of that, one doesn't become stable. As soon as you appreciate devotees, then devotional service becomes stable. That's the actual key element. It's not that I become purified, I become, you know, all kinds of different elements like that. That's not what makes it. It's because you appreciate devotees. It's because of anartas we don't appreciate devotees. You know, because it says the materialist is always envious of others. So that's what we're trying to remove. And envy is, you know, in philosophical terms, is the impersonalism. So that's why there's so much focus on that aspect. Because we think I'm superior, therefore I can criticize others. But if I think I'm just servant of Krishna, then who am I to make comments? Does that make sense? So that's always the weakness. We consider we're advanced like that. And so if we don't, it means it's a major element to get rid of. So if we're not working on that now, it's going to be a stumbling block at the stage of bhava. So better to get rid of it now. You know, or if we don't start now, it would be very hard to get rid of it then. Does that make sense? Because then you are advanced. You know? Well, now it's easier to be humble when you're not. So if you're proud when you're not, then what are you going to be when you are? You know? You know, like that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, in Suhutarang Maharaj's introduction to this course, he actually mentioned that one of the aims of the course was to bring us to the platform of Nishtha. Is that correct?
But I'm not sure.
No, the term he was using was Svata Siddha Gyan. That means
Svata Siddha Gyan.
That means the innate knowledge of the soul.
Innate knowledge of the soul.
Which is perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was the term.
Yeah. So in other words, that innate not that I'm the servant of the Lord. So knowing that and practicing that, that will naturally, the process will go. But as we see, the study of the Bhagavatam is supposed to bring you to the liberated platform. So then you can appreciate the 10th canto. So ideally then, you know, everyone will become, how you say, come to that level by the end of the 9th canto.
Very well.
Whoever survives.
Whoever survives. Whoever survives, yeah. Second canto's coming. Yes.
if you appreciate devotees generally for being devotees, but you appreciate certain devotees more than other devotees because of your conditioning or whatever, is that a problem?
It's not a problem. The point is appreciate devotees. You know, in other words, don't find fault in devotees. You know what I'm saying? That you appreciate and some you appreciate more, that's not a problem. That you criticize some and criticize some more, that's a problem.
Just like in 75 when Prabhupada wrote that famous letter to a devotee who had said that he appreciated a certain devotee. He's a pure devotee in our movement. And then Prabhupada wrote him back, why do you say only so-and-so is a pure devotee? Shyam Sundar is here, he's pure devotee, so-and-so is pure devotee. And we're going to have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. So, you know, we can all go back. So he's trying to help.
Yeah.
Because the other person was appreciating the other, but then he was criticizing everybody else.
Yes. No, yeah. Is this matter, this is appreciation. So it's even, there's, I think it was once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in his room, because he was upstairs and the sannyasis lived downstairs. And so then I think one devotee I think had left his body.
Oh yeah, this is a famous one.
And then he was, they were all like criticizing him. You know, that this and that and so many things. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came down the stairs and said, but he kept his clothes very clean, and then walked back up the stairs.
Every day he washed his clothes, and he hung them up very nicely. End of story. You know, that was one good thing.
So, you know, but you should be able to find that, because they couldn't see that. You know, so the point is, this is just, don't look for faults. It's not.
But Maharaj, how long can you talk about that one thing?
We've been talking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending since time immemorial. We just don't get tired of it, you know. So. You know what I'm saying? Point is you appreciate that and leave it at that. But if it means, if you can see fault, that means there must be intelligence that you're using to discern. So use that intelligence to discern what's good. So in other words, if you have the qualifications to criticize, you have the qualifications to appreciate. You know what I'm saying? You just use them in that side rather than the other side. What are you saying? In reply, Bhishma Dev described the duties outlined in the Varnashram system, varieties of charity, the duties of women, and the path of salvation. 26 to 28. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on Bhishma Dev's instructions. Right? Because he says that this is what he discussed. Because in the Mahabharata, it gives the full discussion. Yes.
That was the question.
Yeah, no, Mahabharata gives the full discussion because it's already there. It's understood who's hearing Bhagavatam. You know, these sages, they've already heard the Puranas, Mahabharata, the Vedic literatures, everything. So they know that, but the point is the conclusion of always being absorbed in Krishna and pure devotional service, that's what's not been brought out. Otherwise, as far as the knowledge goes, Veda has done it. But the conclusion of that, what that knowledge is for, how it's supposed to be used, that's what's not been brought out. So that's why the Bhagavatam, it doesn't get into the detail, because the detail's already there. So unless it's something really important, then it will repeat the detail. So we can understand, of all the things, the duties in Varnashram system, that's important. Varieties of charity. Now, Varnashram system, it already includes charity, but he's mentioned it separately. That means Varnashram in general is about charity is very important. Duties of women is very important in the path of salvation. So that means of all these different things, charity, I think, is in the, like, fourth chapter. The duties of women is in the, yeah, maybe fifth chapter. And the path of salvation is in the sixth chapter of Mana. So of all the different things, they've mentioned that. That means that these are, you know, one should very, how do you say?
Emphasis.
Yeah, it means that emphasis or repetition. So therefore, it's important. So one should look into those elements. Otherwise, why get into all the elements here? Because in doing that, you'll forget that it's about the relationship with Krishna and the devotees. That's why Bhagavatam doesn't need to get into it. You know, it's just like that discussion between Urvasi and, what was his name? Puru Ravas. You know, I think that's ninth canto. That means it's you know, it's one of the famous discussions about the nature of women on the material platform. It's only three verses. Like that. But in that three verses, it says everything. Right? But there's more details of this than other Puranas. Because Narad Muni, he asks, I think, I'm not sure it's not Gritachi. One of the five main upstarts, he asks her, what's the nature of women? She gives a whole detail. Then he also asks Maya Devi herself, and she gives a whole thing. Yeah, but the three verses sum it up, because that's the essence. Yes? Okay, so then, with Srila Prabhupada's elaborates on Bhishma Dev's instructions. The conception of four castes and four orders of life as planned by the Lord Himself, Bhagavad Gita 4.13, is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. Right? So that means you're going to act accordingly, because that's the place where the difficulty comes up, because then if you have, you know, if you perform all these duties, that means you have to be acting within the Vedic system, right? And so that's the point where devotees may feel, well, that doesn't fit into the modern scene. No, it doesn't. Who said it's supposed to? Because the modern scene is meant to absorb you in sense gratification. Well, this is meant to, as you said, accelerate transcendental qualities. So it's going in the opposite direction. Why would you want it to match? You know, that's the first point. You know? And if you say, no, but we got to fit in. Go ahead. Stand on a, find a popular place in the city, stand on the street corner, and note down how many people, how they dress, their attitude, how they walk, their friends that they're with, and everything is what you would consider is like you. Knock me out. How many hundreds of thousands go by and you find one or don't find any? You understand? So where is that fitting in? It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. There is no such thing. There's the Vedic culture, and then there's the lack of it. That's all. Just like there's light, and then there's darkness. That's all. Western culture means just a lack of Vedic culture. Right? And whatever bits of culture are there are just remnants of Vedic. So some know it, some don't. Yes?
But even in the modern scene, those who don't fit in,
mm-hmm.
and they are a little bit more innovative,
yes.
are the ones who are successful anyway.
Yes, of course. That's the whole point. In other words, generally speaking, this whole thing we got to fit in is the mantra of losers. Sorry to say. Sorry to say. But the point is it's just like, I remember it was the thing that came up when you could get away with it. It's just like, you know, it's the guy that's more successful. He's the one that shows up at the board meeting in the suit but without the tie, or the tie's a little loose, or he has a ponytail. Or he's wearing cowboy boots, you know, a suit and cowboy boots. You know, I mean, you know that's the whole point, is that there's that little bit of difference. So the guy that exactly fits in, that's the bureaucrat.
Yes.
Like that. They have to fit, because if they don't, oh boy, that doesn't work.
Or the putter, he has the putter, because he's been practicing in his office. The putter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He just walks in and
just
like, so
guys. Yeah, you know, that's just, yeah. And don't mess, I'll hit you. Right. Okay.
Maharaj.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention, like, I wear devotional clothes everywhere I go, and I've noticed something that you have to be a certain type of, you have to have some strength to carry that.
Yes, that's the whole point. That's why it says development, accelerate transcendental qualities. It's transcendental quality, that's strength. Because people look at you and it's like, who cares?
Yeah, it's hard. But sometimes people like take photos of you, and like people at the airport think you're a terrorist. And
But they also think so many other people are terrorists. Yeah, think of this: how many people from one of the, Arabic nations, wearing a full Arabic outfit with the rag on their head. You know, not the one nicely down with the little ring, but, you know, the rag tied around the beard that looks a bit scruffy. How many of them actually go through security? How many, I mean, and you're going through the airport, have you seen any of them? No. So that's what they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? But they catch everybody. If you haven't noticed that, you know, you're going down to the plane, and they pull people over. After security, you've already, you know, checked, you're just about to board the plane, and they randomly pull people over.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not so random. Like, you can tell.
That's there, but they're doing it all day.
Yeah.
You know, so how many of them are Hare Krishnas? So it's not just us. We're just one of the odd ones. So anybody odd, they call them.
Yeah, but if you've got an option, I understood now that if you've got an option to fit in, then some people would be more comfortable doing that.
Yes, but it's not a philosophy.
No, not of course.
It's just a matter of it. If, in other words, you have the kind of persona that, you know, no matter where you go, they take you apart, then try to look normal, if it'll work. Because the point is they pull over people that supposedly look normal also. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you got to, you know, be able to pull it off. You know what I'm saying? You know, the people that walk into the, what is that? You know, the Chinese theater, like that. Each one dresses totally different than the other. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying? So my point is that it's to accelerate transcendental qualities, and that's what we militate against. Because then you have to develop those qualities. You have to not care. You have to be absorbed in Krishna. You have to do these things. Well, if you dress like everybody else, you can do what everybody else does. You don't have to develop transcendental quality. You may. It's not that you can't. It's not that there's a rule if you wear don't wear the devotee clothes, then you can't develop. No, you can still develop the transcendental qualities. But the point is the others, it kind of makes it aware that you have to have them.
Well, the other thing is that because you're representing the society, you have to always, you can't stand, be a slob or eat bad or
yeah, yeah. Means you don't talk with your mouth open while you're eating and stuff like that. Your bits falling out. You just don't do that, yeah.
Yeah, you're always you have to be represented.
Yeah, but then that should just be normal. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. That's just normal. Prabhupada would move through the airport. He'd be there. He's dignified. You'd just see. He's just so high class.
But it isn't normal for some
people. So, but do you want to become normal?
No. I'm just making a comment. I'm not saying.
Yeah, because the point is it's like, Mataji was saying, is I've seen devotees who where they prefer wearing karmic clothes when they go, but when they work, they stand out. They don't look like everybody else. They look better than everybody else. You know, it's like, but most look worse than everybody else. So then you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? So then you say like that, so you wear the three-quarter. I mean, I forget where I was. Everybody was wearing these three-quarter, these knickers. cargo knickers. Like that. Everybody. Like that. And it's just like, and everybody's just fitting in. But, anywhere else you go, nobody wears those much. You wear them if you're going out hiking or something like that. But these were wearing, a t-shirt and a cargo knickers and some kind of, funky shoes. So how is that, nice? What I'm saying? Something like that. So it's not that you couldn't do something nice with those, but
watch the floor.
I didn't take that approach, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? The whole point is that this idea of fitting in, that you fit in, you're fitting into what? Are you fitting into what they're doing, or fitting into what you would do if you were in that situation? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? In other words, let's say someone was a goth. Then they became Hare Krishna. Now, if they wear karmic clothes, what clothes are they going to be wearing? How does that fit in? It fits in with goths. It doesn't fit in with anybody else. They're going to look at you just as weird being a goth as they are as a Hare Krishna. Right? They've been looking at Hare Krishnas for the last 40 years, so 50 years. So they're not that weird anymore. You know what I'm saying? Buddhists are traveling all over the world. Previously, they never traveled. So then, it's not so weird anymore. People, karmis wear kurtas. Right? They buy them and wear them. With pants, of course. And get beads around the neck. They do it. It's kind of cool. Shawls, right? And what do they call them? They're called pashminas, even if they're not made out of pashmina. Pashmina means the fabric they're made out of. But now if you look in the stalls, they say pashminas. They're made out of synthetic and this and that. But it just means, these cheddar things. And is that part of the, at least more contemporary Western culture? No. They went out shawls kind of, back in the last century, early. Pre-World War II, they were more common. After, not so much. Just like hats, Right. Who wears hats? Is it normal to wear hats? A lot of people wear hats. But it's not the standard thing to wear hats. And one thing I found really impressive is they wear these kind of hats, these beanies. They're meant for when it's cold, but they're wearing in the middle of summer. With a full head of hair. It's not like they have a bald head. Because that's just their thing.
London summer. London summer.
That's another thing. I'm talking about where it is a little warm.
Venice Beach, the whole boys.
They got that, the hat on and all that like that. It's hot out. Of course, they're in a sleeveless T-shirt, like that. So it's like, So that's my point, is that this fitting in thing is actually. Very few actually do. Of the devotees who do wear, I've only seen a few that do fit in. They look like cultured gentlemen. They're part of the scene. They're at the airport. They look like they belong there. rather than something that the security is going to take and, you know, take them apart. So it's that they're either going to take them apart because they dress as a devotee and look like a slob, or, you know, like that, or they dress as a karmi and look like a slob. So, you know what I'm saying? If you look like a pucket gentleman, there's a good chance they don't take you apart. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. So, and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage, right? Gradually realize the spiritual identity. So it takes time. You know, it's practice. So where you can, you do. Where you can't, don't. That's the point. But it's not a philosophy. Right? Like that. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit. And so also in the Mahabharata is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 16th chapter. Right? So all the Puranas explain it, but just the Mahabharata gives more elaborately.
Yes, sir.
Those instructions differ from mine.
No, it'll be because you're practically applying it, so therefore it'll be based on mano with artha and niti. So you'll be practically applying it. So that's what's nice about them, is it pulls them all together. Otherwise you study dharma separately, artha separately, and niti separately. But this is kind of like it all together. The Varnashram dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Right? That's the point. You know, doesn't mean there won't be any humans left. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and making. Bhishma Dev means that's the difference. So if that's all you're doing, but in a very sophisticated way, it's still just a sophisticated animal. Some animals are sophisticated. Right? They're very refined. They like clean places, nice places. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole idea. You know, they have, you know, codes of conduct. They have social structures. Right? You know, so it's going on. It means like, yeah, can you imagine? It means if you take the proportion of the size, right? You know, it would be kind of like if you had like a, you know, let's say 100,000 people all packed into the Empire State Building with one person in charge. Who would be able to do that? Rare. But every anthill, every termite hill, right, every beehive, that's what's going on. Perfectly managed. Right? No one fighting. They're not coming out and bumping into each other and starting a whole fight and everything. No, it's just, it works perfect. You know, and everybody works real hard. Right? Nobody's lazy. Right? So, therefore, very sophisticated, most likely more than any of your top managers these days. Okay. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. 1, do not become angry. Right? Because if you become angry, it means you're frustrated. If you're frustrated, it means there's a lack of actually understanding the situation or determination or seeing it a longer period. Because there's always going to be smaller. In other words, if it's small enough, you don't get frustrated. But when it comes to the limit of your vision or your tolerance, that's when you get angry.
Yes.
Right? So some people have lungs. So it's best, you know, if you don't get angry, then you'll always get things done. Do not lie. 3, to equally distribute wealth. 4, to forgive. 5, to beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7, not to be inimical towards anyone. 8, to be simple. And 9, to support servants or subordinates. Right? So he's taking these main elements but then practically applying them. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. These are preliminary, just like Manu starts with 10. Right? But he's made it practical, you know, so it absorbs other things, and to 9. Nard Muni opens, if you're going to do it in Daivavarnashram, with 30. These are just preliminary. You know, then you can say, now we're human. Because if these aren't there, one's not human. Nowadays, it's kind of like in the Western scene, at least the, you know, how you say, the how you say, the Western Atlantic scene, not the Eastern so much, is not to become, is becoming angry is like part, it's your right, it's part of the scene. People don't get taste unless somebody's getting angry. If there's no victim, I mean, what are you doing? Where's the social interaction? Right? It means people who are successful understand this, but your general public doesn't. Do not lie, right? Then the problem is, then how's business going to go on? But the point is, because when you get angry, you break down relationships. You lie, you break down relationships. Yes. To equally distribute wealth means you get more than you... That you distribute. Yes. Equally distribute. What does equally distribute mean?
So everybody has what they need.
But now what's the recommendation?
There,
but then at the same time as what's the percentage?
50%.
So that's equal. You get half, everybody else gets half. It's not that everybody gets the same amount. So if you take, 7 billion people and how much I have, I divide it by all that, so I get 0.1 cent. No, it's not. That doesn't mean that equal. It means you take care of yourself, take care of others. Okay. To forgive. Because if you forgive, then you can move on. Relationships can work. If you can't forgive, then there'll always be a problem in relationships. To beget children only on one's legitimate wife. One is then you'll have proper kids. And two, you won't create bad relationships. Right? If you beget children on someone else's legitimate wife, you got yourself a problem. You got yourself a natural lifetime enemy. Right? You know, like this. And the problem is then the children, because they're illegitimate, then they're not going to be of quality, so they're going to be a disturbance in society. It's just guaranteed, right? That's why society is so disturbed. Right? Okay. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. So purity in mind, then as long as means that will be, it's always in connection with the Lord, right? Or at least in connection with your duties. Right? Because the mind's going to, by the past samskaras and by your identity, is going to define what you do. So if the mind is pure, right, the samskaras are pure, the identity is pure, your actions will be pure. And hygienic body means it's clean. You're taking bath regularly, you know, all these different things are going on. Which just now is becoming more and more a popular thing. Like that, I remember when I was a kid, showers were, not very many people had showers in the house. I remember shower meant when you went to school and went to gym, then you had a shower. But otherwise, in the house, you had a bathtub. Right? You know, a bathtub means once a week. You know, you don't want to get fanatic. You
know? Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, Friday night. I think some people it was Wednesday night. Even, you know? So, but most people it's like Friday night. Yeah, for the weekend. You know, so.
My parents, they went to their aunts on Wednesdays to take a bath. And then
they had a bathtub. Otherwise, why do you need a bathtub? You know, for once a week, you know, who's going to invest in a bathtub, right? Right? Yeah. And so it's just now becoming a popular thing. People have showers like that, you know, they use soap, you know, I mean, it's the whole thing like that, you know, it's like the...
Global warming.
Global warming, yeah, it's warming up. Everyone's starting to get... pretty bad, everyone gets... Yeah, so it's just a newer thing, but it's only because they're doing it. It's not because it's what's supposed to be done or it's duty. That's the whole point. You're trying to accelerate transcendental qualities because it's what should be done. Not because, everybody does it. That's why I do it.
To attract focus to the body instead of remove it. The modern
That's all. Because it's considered a nicer thing. Yeah. Like that. 7, not to be inimical towards anyone, because if you're inimical, then it always creates, if you're inimical, people will be inimical towards you. That's the thing. And then you can get along, you can work with everybody, everything works smoothly. To be simple. Simple means what is the most direct way of doing things, but not at the expense of relationships. In other words, since relationship is the central point, you keep it simple and based around that. Therefore, then you decide on your course of action. Right? Okay. And to support servants and subordinates. If you don't take care of them, then what's the meaning? That's much of the time the difficulty in the modern society is people don't do this. You know, the businessman doesn't want to take care of his the people that work for him, like that. The idea is that how less you can give, the better. right? While they're doing the opposite, how more you can give. Like I told you, I was riding on the train and there's packed, and I'm asking, you know, what's going on? And they say, oh, we're going to a communist rally in Calcutta. And I says, okay, you know, so what's your what do you want? You know, we're striking for, you know, less work, more pay. Okay, you know, so that's what they want. And they said, well, what's the ultimate? No work, full pay.
Yes.
I was thinking, you know, that's so stupid. You know, where's he going to get the money from? You know, like that. You know, so in other words, the whole thing, people don't do their duties. So therefore. But everybody has servants and subordinates. Everybody, even the poorest person, then there's people more junior to them. So they have to take care. So they don't. If it's about yourself, right? Because if it's about Krishna, you have to start that principle, it's about someone else. So naturally, those who are servants or subordinates, those are the closest. You know, family members, like this, friends. So if you can't take care of them, how are you going to take care of somebody, you know, God? Mm-hmm. Or devotees who you don't have these relations with. So at least minimum is you start there. Does that make sense? Okay. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides these, the brahmanas, the intelligent men, the administrative men, the mercantile community, and the labor class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic literatures. Right, so that means that is just what you need to function in ashram. Then for varna, you need special qualities specifically for that duty. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. Because if you don't control the senses, then how will there be morality? So there's talk about morality, but there's no talk about controlling the senses. So what does it actually mean? Right? It means if we remember from philosophy, when we're talking about these philosophies of, you know, extended sense gratification, then it's about you do whatever you want as long as nobody knows about it.
Yes.
But in the public eye, you must always be moral and do everything right. But in the privacy of your own home, you do whatever you want. I mean, that's the standard thing.
Charvak,
but it just means any of these modern kind of, you know, that come up in the, you know, last few centuries. It's always the ideas that, okay, if we work together, then we can improve science and art and economics so everybody will enjoy more. But at least there should be the facade in public of everybody being moral.
Yes.
But in the privacy of your own house, it's understood you're not going to be following. But no one should find out about it. If they do, oh, it's horror. Oh, what's the world coming to? Like that. But the point is if you're not emphasizing control of the senses, then what's the meaning of morality? Morality is, it's the basis for morality. Right? So what does basis mean? Right? In this case, dharma is the basis of artha. Morality is an artha. So if it's not based in dharma, right, then where is it based? In sense gratification. That's why we call it extended sense gratification. So for the varnashram means you're situated in dharma, then you engage from dharma into artha and into kama, or dharma into moksha. Right? But this idea is that you're going to go from kama up to morality. Then it doesn't have a strong basis.
Yeah.
Because it's you're controlling your senses only as far as the social custom goes, but not for you personally, for your own spiritual advancement. Sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. Because right? Otherwise, then you end up with kids that are not planned. If they're not planned, then they're not going to have that clear consciousness. The kid, right? They're not going to know who they are, or that's not going to be focused on how you say it? Spiritual life. Does that make sense? Because if they're not planned, then it's based on lust. And if it's based on lust, that means then the child will think in that lusty way. Yes?
Is it that they won't be focused at all?
They'll be focused on something. Like generally any of them, you can hand them a video game or, you know, something to do SMSs and, you know, they're right there. But, you know, other than that, then yeah, there's no focus. Yeah. So thereby family control will automatically follow. That's another aspect. Is that it's wondering, well, how come the children don't listen to parents? One is there's always that inherent underlying element due to intimacy that there's going to be some lack of it. But if the parents aren't controlled, why will the kids be controlled? Right? So what he's saying here is family control will automatically follow. One, quality kids, and two, the kids will follow what the parents do. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. Yeah. So intelligent means he's discussing the Brahminical, so it gets wasted. This means he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So the Vedic way of life, the real essence is Bhagavatam. So if somebody's studying Bhagavatam, practicing that in their life, then they're following the Vedic way of life. Right? And then as Prabhupada, like here, why would these things be pulled from wherever in the Vedic literatures and put into Prabhupada's purport? He is giving us these things because it's not expected that we need to read other literatures. Makes me want to know more detail, then it's there. In general, what's important for everybody from Manu, Prabhupada's pulled. Yeah. But for those who are going to be involved in administration, then they should study Manu Samhita. Yeah. This means, okay. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is 100% engaged in devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the Shastras. Because what they recommend is what works, and what they don't recommend is all what doesn't work. Yes. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Right? You know, as long as his moral life is no more immoral than everybody else's moral life, then he's okay.
It seems to be the same principle in the public than you. Conform to
yes, like that. But there also, it's just, you know, whatever you do, if everybody else is doing that, it's okay. Like before, if someone didn't dress nicely, then they wouldn't get a job as a teacher. You know, but nowadays, it's the standard to not dress nicely. That's considered more, you know, more cool. Right? You know, you always have this, you know, 50, 60-year-old guy trying to look like the 20-year-olds, you know, at university. You know, it's like that. You know, some pull it off. Most don't. Right? Therefore, the result of education is misuse of high intelligence in so many ways, because it's character, that's where we started. Now they're training them in an occupation, generally. You know, unless it's, you know, you're majoring in, you know, appreciation of, you know, Greek literature or something. Then that's more of a character kind of thing, unless you want to get a job, you know, translator, doing something with that, you know. But otherwise, the education is teaching you in occupation. So we see as occupation, it already mentions, first there must be these qualifications in ashram. So that means the students may not have these nine qualities, but their parents should have had them. They've been training them in them. The teachers have them. They'll be training in them. Right? Then the occupational study will have some value. Otherwise, then, you know, sophisticated animals. The Kshatriya, so that was the you know, in other words, what the intelligent man, the Brahminical. Right? The Kshatriya, the member of the administrative class, is especially advised to give charity and not to accept charity in any circumstances. So then that kind of throws out what's the position then of the person running for high office.
Yes.
Because people are giving him charity so he can run his
campaign.
You know. But then that's a problem. Yes. So then it means he either has to be a Brahmin, you know, who knows this area, or he's most likely a Shudra.
He's not a Brahmin.
Yeah. So, you know, like this. So in other words, it's not ideal. Not the ideal. Modern administrators raise subscriptions for some political functions, but never give charity to the citizens in any state function. They're not giving. The state has to give, but they should be giving. That's the whole point. Yudhishthir goes to something as a state function and gives in charity to the citizens. You know, so that's the whole thing. You know, so there should be something. Yes.
The difference between charity and tax.
Charity and tax. Charity means you're giving it away. Tax means it's being taken.
But you don't accept charity?
No, taxes because you're doing something and then they have to pay for it. Just like in business, you have some goods, you want the goods, you pay. So then they're running the administration and protecting the people, you have to pay for that. But personally, he doesn't accept charity. Right? Somebody says. It's not that the government can't raise funds for public work. That's also there. They can get together and say, you know, we want to build a hospital and this and that here and all these different things, and then, you know, get you know, some leading members to, you know, make the first donation, get everybody else and do that. But then it goes to that. It's not personal. Right? You know, I'm sorry. You know, so the other thing, they can say, okay, well, they're getting the subscriptions for the party to run the campaign, and then he just represents the campaign. Okay, then that can work. But then the point is personally he shouldn't be getting benefit from
it. Yes.
Like that's the point.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that people can't give gifts as friendship.
Yeah.
But then generally those ones they don't get. You know, it's just like that. If the state, you know, this head of state of one place gives a gift to the head of state of somebody else, then it becomes, if it's, you know, these democratic, it becomes the property of the state. You know, therefore, there's so many wonderful gifts that have been given by heads of state, you know, in the, you know, White House, but they stay there, you know. But if you have a king, it's his. You know,
until he goes to the forest.
Yeah, until he goes to the forest, and then it goes to the, you know, whoever's next. I guess the difference is he is the state, and so when the state becomes someone else, then it goes to them. So it does remain part of the state. Yeah. Okay. It is just a verse in the injunctions of Shastra. So in other words, a state function, there must be charity. Right? So if there was this regular charity, then there would be also less problems. Because how many state functions are going on? Right? Regularly they're all going on. So if there was always charity at them, then there would be so much less need of general charity.
Yes.
Right? This administrative class must be well versed in the Shastras, but must not take to the profession of teachers. They must know it well, because otherwise what's it going to mean if they're being taught? How will they know the fine points? Because it's not in understanding the basics, it's understanding the fine points. Right? So then if they don't already know, then how do you discuss?
Can you say they should know the principles and they should be guided in time, place, and circumstance?
Yes, that's fair. But they know more. They may be, that's why it said a Rajarshi. He's very well knowledgeable in the scriptures. You know, on one level is qualified, he could teach, but they don't. You know, because the element of passion and this and that. They don't make good teachers. The tendency is there's too, it's too much of a challenge for the student.
They're involved.
Yeah, they get too involved, it's too much of a challenge, and then if the student does come up, then they're stupid. It doesn't work as well like that. The energy, you know, you see is generally if they do, then they retire, and then as vanaprastas, then they give advice. You know what I'm saying? So they wouldn't be directly teachers, but they could open a consultancy. That makes sense.
Yeah,
because then you're not involved. You just give advice. They take it, great. They don't take it, great. As long as they pay, who cares? Like, teachers don't get paid, so you have to listen to them. Right? But the consultancy, they do good.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Their energy should be especially directed towards killing the thieves, the dacoits, the black marketeers, and all such undesirable elements of society. So, you know, in any way, that should be removed from society. So it says, especially directed towards. Because if you get rid of that, your citizens will be peaceful. Because this is what they're all disturbed by. The administrator should never pretend to become nonviolent and thereby go to hell. Right? In other words, it's their business to use whatever force is necessary to control the thieves, the dacoits, the black marketeers, and all such undesirable elements. Because otherwise, these are, by Manu says, thorns in the sides of the people. So if you're supposed to protect the people, there aren't supposed to be any people like this. So you're very, very strong with these. Right? That's why there's a difference between civil law and criminal law. Right? You know, and domestic law. So on these things, then, it's according to Shastra, but, you know, you try to do it as lenient as possible. But on criminal law, then generally there's less leniency. Yes.
Well, I was just wondering about this.
A little louder, please.
I was just wondering about this album, like when the Varnashram was there, and then modern, when the, and not interface. You know, I was just wondering how that works. You know, because they don't function together. You know, if you're following this kind of like, should be killed.
Well, being killed can also just mean the point is to be removed. So why it says killed? Because generally, these kind of people, thieves, dacoits, and black marketeers, they don't reform very well.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Devotional service, yes, they can reform. That's why we have example in history of personalities that were in these categories but reformed.
Yes.
You know, so. But this is generic, so even if you're not dealing with devotional service, then the system will work, the social system will work. So therefore, you know, killing just means getting rid of.
Yes.
So if you can get rid of it by changing the consciousness, that's great, but it actually has to work.
Yes.
But if it doesn't work, then that removal, then the point is the society benefits that you don't have such people. And the individual thief or dacoit, because they become purified of that.
Yes.
And so in the next life, they'll be a good citizen. Yes. They won't have the tendency towards that.
Yes.
So all around it's beneficial, but people don't understand the bigger picture. But in any case, if you can get rid of it, you know, just by proper surveillance and this and that, I think it was, they doubled the police force in New York and the crime rate dropped to, you know, back like what it was 40 years earlier, you know, like that. Just simple things like that. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, however you can get it done, the point is you have to focus on these things. You can't be focusing on all the political things and trying to make a thing there, and then the people are bothered by all these. Right? When Arjuna wanted to become a non-violent coward on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was severely chastised by Lord Krishna. The Lord degraded Arjuna at that time to the status of an uncivilized man for his avowed acceptance of the cult of non-violence. Right? Because he's a Kshatriya. They're the ones that use violence. Right? You can say, okay, no, everybody should be non-violent. Yes, if everybody is non-violent, you don't have to be. Like on, I think it's on that, you know, Janatapa Loka, there are no Kshatriyas. You don't need any. Right? Because everybody is non-violent. But if you have violent people, you have to have those who will use violence to stop it. You know, fire is stopped by fire.
That's the problem in India when the Muslims came, wasn't it?
Yes, that's how, because then the kings had taken up non-violence. You could do the, you know, and so then that was a problem. Otherwise, you know, how big is the Khyber Pass? You know, how do you get through
that? Yeah.
You know, if you have a big army on the other side. Yeah, and nobody gets through. You know, it's just like it's not possible. You know. The administrative class must be personally trained in military education. So they must know how that works. Otherwise, if you don't understand that, you won't know how to apply it. Otherwise, nowadays it's kind of more corporate management is what's learned. But it should be military education. Then you'll have, you see in history, many of your best leaders of countries have all had a military background.
Yes.
You know, because they know how to, you know, get in there and deal. The political is something you have to deal with. It is a part of the social thing, but it's not the prominence for them. But for many, it's just the political is the prominence rather than the military. That doesn't mean, you know, fighting in wars, it means that they have that ability to see exactly what needs to be done and get it done.
Yes.
Right? So here it says personally trained. So that would also mean in modern military training you have the office officers and you have the field officers. So it means training as a field officer. Because then they really know how to apply it. Is that a summary? Yeah. Cowards should not be elevated to the presidential throne by dint of numerical votes only. It's not a problem that there's numerical votes, but that shouldn't be the only thing. It should be those who are qualified they should be. In other words, if you want to have the party system, the party should only put up, right? So in other words, if you're saying the party knows politics, they know administration, they know, you know, what are the standards of Shastra, therefore they should present only a person who is qualified. And then you have two parties or whatever it is, then whichever one is chosen, it doesn't really matter because you'll have a qualified person. Right? Fine. Then you can do it, but only by numerical votes. Then what's the meaning? You know, what's the meaning? Because the point is the person, you can say, no, but it's an open country, everybody could become president. Is it?
No.
Right? The point is who has the money to do the campaign? The party. Not the individual, right? I mean, there was, I think, some time before. I think in the 90s, there was an independent, very big, big businessman.
Prospero.
Okay, and he made the point, the guy from Texas, that guy?
Yeah.
So he made the point that hey, you know, the country is having problems financially because all these guys, they don't know finance. I know finance. I'm successful. I got money. So, you know, vote for me. We'll work it out. You know, but he runs his own campaign. He doesn't have to take money because he's got money. And people actually liked him because, you know, he was like this. I think at some point, I'm not sure he dropped out.
Yeah, they threatened his family.
Yeah, you know, something. That's all he said. Okay. Because he's a businessman, he's not a politician, so he doesn't.
He doesn't know those
threatening kind of tricks. Okay. Right. Does that make sense? Because
yeah.
It's like I think it was Poland had a unique system. Is that they didn't have, you know, the heretical throne. It was amongst the nobility that were qualified, then the qualified persons voted that one of them would be the king. And then when he, you know, couldn't do or died or got killed, back, then they'd vote for another one. So there was a voting system, and it worked quite well. And I think that's one of the things why they went after the Poles. The other countries got together because they didn't like the idea. The idea was, no, it's just the hereditary, because this was becoming very popular amongst the people, like that. So it was one of the elements that went to the downfall of the Polish Empire. Because they actually were emperors at one time. No one else talks about it, right? You never hear about it. At one time, Poland, a huge amount of Europe was in control. In fact, even today, you have mercenaries, you know, that fight for other armies, your modern mercenaries, a huge amount of them are Polish. Right, because they're really, really tough people. Okay. The monarchs are all chivalrous personalities, and therefore monarchy should be maintained, provided the monarchy is regularly trained in the occupational duties of a king. Right. So if he is trained, then monarchy should be used. If you're dealing with something else, then monarchy loses its value. So we'll say monarchy is the best system of governance only if you have trained monarchs. If you don't, then it's not your ideal system. Right? Because then one person gets it, and it makes so much trouble. Right? Then you have to have something that will create less trouble. Right? In fighting, the king or the president should never return home without being hurt by the enemy.
Right. Job description.
Yes, and the scars must be on the front.
Yes.
Right? Or on the back. It's not good. You know, unless there's a matching one on the front.
Okay.
And that's okay. It went straight through. Yeah, okay, well, that's okay. You know, like Ravana had that hole straight through his chest, you know, so he even put a ring in there with diamonds on the inside. You could see through, you know. So that was cool. That would be wild, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't mean harsh words. Hurt by the enemy.
Could be, Yeah. Nonsense. Oh. Yeah. The so-called king of today never visits the war field. He is very much expert in artificially encouraging the fighting strength in the hope of false national prestige, right? Because they're there, they sometimes speak, but it's generally, if they do speak to the troops, it's not at the battlefield, it's back home at the base, you know, it's all nice and secure.
Like that. Combat jacket on.
Yeah. As soon as the administrative class is turned into a gang of mercantile and labor men, the whole machinery of government becomes polluted. Right? You know, and then in that polluted condition, then you try to work out something that works. You know, so that's the interesting thing is that Washington, George Washington, he was a general in the army. You know, I think he was when he was 19, he became a general, and he was fighting like this. So he was worked it out. But then when he saw that the country had to run, then he, using that background, worked out a system that basically could run. But it's not supposed to be like here, turned into a gang of mercantile labor men. It's supposed to remain on that platform. Then it works more nicely, right? Because the more you introduce this thing of that it's business and just bureaucrats. Then it falls apart, no matter how good a system you have.
Yes.
Right? And the better that they're trained as a proper administrative class, then any system will work properly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the... Raja Dharma is a great science, unlike modern diplomacy or political supremacy, for political supremacy. Right, because there it's just political supremacy. It's not about protecting the people.
Yes.
Right, the party might come up with a good plan, but the opposition has to oppose it just because of the other party. Rather than, okay, we'll support that as long as you're doing good things, then we'll support it. As soon as you do something wrong, that's what we'll complain about.
Okay. Yeah.
But then the point is then nobody gets anything done. Right. The kings were trained systematically to become munificent and not merely be tax collectors. Right? So they collect tax, but at the same time they give in charity. They were trained to perform different sacrifices only for the prosperity of the subjects, not just for themselves. To lead the prajas to the attainment of salvation was the great duty of the king. Right, so that's why Varnashram was used, because if your purpose is to get them all to the point of liberation, then the only social system that will do that is the Vedic system. Therefore, Varnashram was the standard system. The father, the spiritual master, and the king are not to become irresponsible in the matter of leading the subjects to the path of ultimate liberation from birth, death, diseases, and old age. So they all work together, right? The father's, that means, training in the home, the spiritual master's training, you know, outside the home, and the king is seeing that there's a protected environment in which the other two can do their job. When these primary duties are properly discharged, there is no need of government of the people by the people. Right? Because then the people don't have to run it because it's already been running nicely. Right? The kids don't have to make their own dinner because mom makes it. You know, she doesn't make it. They have to make it. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is there's a natural thing is that there's no need that the people have to get involved because how much do the people want to get involved? I mean, the man on the street, how many really want to get involved? Right? It means if you look back, you know, the big movements and all those things like that, generally they're all the guys, you know, they're students. Right, they're not married yet, and everything. Once they're married, then they got more important things like mortgage to take care of. Right, but the students that are unmarried, they get involved in these things. Right, so then, but that's only them. The ones younger than them, the ones older than them, don't. So it's one particular category of people. Right, they got enough brains and training to have an opinion. Right, but at the same time, as they don't have obligations that would distract from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's not the general populace is involved anyway. There are a few individuals like that, some places more, some places less, you know, like Massachusetts, there'll be more, Texas, there'll be less, you know, Alaska also, that's why the Electoral College is the way it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole idea is that it's not necessary. Means if things are going nicely, you don't need to do that. If they're not, then you may have to introduce. But the point is if the top's going, people don't really care about government. And those that actually have the care and the ability, they should be involved in government. Right? Because there's plenty of space to do things. Right? Like that.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Then you see it's like a practical application.
Yeah, it's a good proportion.
First time for another few days.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because the modern world just has no concept of these things. It's just gone through so nicely and so...
No, I mean, it means some do, but then you can never work with it because once it's corrupted, it means the power that will take it and adjust it is too much because people get situated and they're comfortable and then, then it's just a little like it. So that's why we have to be very careful about introducing system of so-called administration that's based on bureaucracy, and economics. Because that's exactly the opposite of the day.
Yes.
So this system is that run by the people of democracy?
It'll be democracy. Democracy is part of the Vedic system. It's just not the top of the system. Right? It's on the middle rung.
It's used when it's required.
It's used in certain situations, village level, town like that. It's used. It's a village level is where it's used. But it's not used on the national level. So it's part of the system, just like the socialist is also there, is that the upper systems take care of the lower system. So the lower system, labor shouldn't have to worry about taking care of themselves. In other words, they get proper pay, but then if they're short, then that's where charity and other things come in.
So these systems now extended to the national level because of the failure of the...
Yes. So in other words, whatever it is, as it goes down, it just drops. As your leadership is not based on the welfare of the public or a proper understanding, then it drops and the monarchy takes over. And then when that doesn't work out, then it drops and the bourgeois takes over.
Wow.
Right?
That's actually the Vedic system you can see that's happening in the world.
Because all the things happen. It's just the way life goes on. You just watch history, it just goes down.